just thank you for day, and thank you for everything you do for us, Lord, just the grace, the love that you show us. And we just want to lift up Bunny to you, Lord, just heal her pains, take them away, Lord, just let it be a miracle in your name, Lord. We pray this, that our, give the physicians knowledge, just so that to ease it and be with Thane. I know these times are difficult when you can't be there, Lord, and they're far away, Lord. Just be with them. Be with Carol Owens, as always. Just heal the body, Lord. And we pray for our nation. We pray for our nation to get closer to you, to realize that you're out there, Lord, and that you're the way, the only way, that we should be focused more on you than anything else. And Lord, just be here today. Speak through me, Lord, that it's not me, but it's you. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so for over 5 chapters, we've been talking about the same thing, haven't we? Yeah, the Galatians, you know, that there have been those, and I know you know this, but there have been those who have been teaching the Galatians that you need to be circumcised. You need to keep the Mosaic law in order to be truly saved. You weren't saved unless you did that. Now, some were even saying, you know what, Paul agrees with us. Paul's preaching the same thing as us. You know, so why does Paul just keep going over, and it seems like he's repeating himself, maybe in different words, but over and over again for these last 4.5 chapters? Why do you think? Right, exactly. You know, I don't think it's because he's finishing a 100-word essay. He had a school assignment. Or he forgets that he's been telling people. But I feel exactly that, is that sometimes people need to hear things again in maybe a different way. Maybe this way it'd click with this certain people or that people. You know, the Galatians were very confused. They were very confused. And it's, in a way, you know, the gospel is so simple, but sometimes it's so simple that people get confused. And people are still confused even today in these matters. You know, people still try to put rules out there that, oh, well, you have to follow this in order to be saved. You have to do this work in order to be saved. You know, they change the Bible to say, you know, what they want it to say, not what it truly says. You know, with these problems, they're not an easy fix. And with not easy fix problems, you kind of seem like you're repeating yourself, but you're just reaffirming it. Or sometimes people get, oh, squirrel, you know, they're looking off and they're not really listening, but then the second time, okay, well, that kind of makes sense. Or the third time, it's like, okay, this is finally sinking in. And people like to be in control of their destiny, right? You like to be in control. We, as humans, we like to be in control of our destiny. And we are, but it's not on our own power. You know, it's not relying on our power what our destiny is about. In Galatians 5, verse 11, Cassia?
And I, brethren, if I still preach circumcision, why do I still suffer persecution? Then the offense of the cross has ceased.
All right, so if Paul still preaches, you know, if he preaches about circumcision, that you need it, he's saying, if I preach that you need it, you know, why would I even write this letter? Why would I do that? You know, why would the Judaizers even persecute me or say bad things about me or be against me? You know, they would love me if I preached the same thing because it'd be the same message, right? So this proves that Paul is not saying that you need to keep the law of circumcision. You know, this proves it. And it also proves that the people that say he does are liars. Right? So, and if you know somebody's a liar, it gets rid of any trust that you could have in them. You know, it's hard to build a trust, we know that, right, with other people. And if you know they lied to you, why would you trust them? It's hard. And then Paul goes on and talks about the offense of the cross. So, any thoughts what that would be, offense? And if it helped, you know, think about what offense would it be if somebody thought, well, I'm a good person, why can't I go to heaven? What would the Bible offend them? How would the Bible offend them?
Because you can't get to heaven by your own power. You're just like a good person by like doing what you think is right, then it's not going to get you anywhere because you can't do much with your own power.
You're exactly right. You're exactly right. Is that they need Jesus, that they're not enough. So somebody was prideful, right? And we could get there. Everybody can get there. But that would be an offense to them. You know, and it doesn't matter what we've done or what we haven't done, we still need Jesus, right? You know, we needed the cross to happen. Although how sad it was, but we needed it to happen. You know, that's the only way we could be saved, because it happened. You know, if Paul agreed with the Judaizers, he'd be saying, well, we could work our way to heaven. That we don't have to fully trust in Jesus. We just have to kind of believe in him. They wanted you to believe in Jesus, but they also wanted you to do works. So, but that offense would no longer be there if you said, oh, well, if you're good enough, you can make it. There wouldn't be that offense there that the cross puts up there. But it is there. And for the prideful, it hits their ego. Right? Now, Paul loves the Galatians. He looks at them as like little children. We found that out, I believe, it was chapter 4. He looks at them like they're like his kids. Right? He's taking care of them. He's building them up, and somebody's been lying to them and putting them into a dangerous situation. So he's not really happy about that, right? And it makes sense. He won't be happy about that. Galatians chapter 5, verse 12. Yeah, see ya?
I could wish that those who trouble you would even cut themselves off.
All right. So, when he's talking about circumcision, right? So cutting themselves off. So sacrificial castration was known from the citizens of the ancient world. It was known. I mean, the Galatians would have known, okay, he's talking about this, right? You know, it was practiced by pagan priests of cults around areas such as Galatia. Now, Paul's not holding back. Right? He's not holding back. He has very strong feelings about what's happening. You know, he's basically saying, if they want to be so righteous of cutting a little, why don't they just become really righteous and be like the priests of these pagan cults? Right? Now, one might say, this isn't really a wish that you go up to Snow White's wishing well and go, I'm wishing. You know, it's not really, it's kind of dark. It's kind of a dark wish, right? We can all see that. It's not very PC.
PG?
PG or PC? Both PC, politically correct.
Oh.
in PG's parental guidance, right? Now, Paul, if we look at it this way, Paul's frustrated, right? He's frustrated at those because they're changing the gospel message. You know, they're removing God's grace and placing a heavy burden on people. They're placing this heavy burden of the law on people, and there's no way they can fulfill it. So they're changing the gospel message. You know, they're very well be stumbling people out of being saved. You know, the spiritual damage caused by legalistic teaching is not a small matter. It's not, oh, well, it's fine. It's a serious problem. You know, but did Paul need to say that? Did he really need to say, well, let's just cut everything off? You know, shouldn't he be more like Jesus in spreading love and flowers and sunshines and rainbows? In Proverbs 6, 16 through 19, do you want a break? Or?
I can do it.
Okay.
The sixth thing the Lord hates, yes, seven are an abomination to him. A proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that are swift and running to evil, a false witness who speaks lies, and one who sows discord among brethren.
All right, so first off, you know, the proud look, so being humble. You know, the proud, it's so hard to be proud and be sensible and follow God. It's hard to be proud and follow God. But it's the lying. It's the false witness. It's really about that false witness, what speaks lies and cause trouble in the brethren. That's exactly what these Judaizers were doing to the Galatians. You know, they're speaking lies. They were straight out lying because they weren't telling the truth. And God hates that. You know, God hates that. You know, the God of love hates. Matthew 18, verse 6.
Whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were drowned in the depth of the sea.
Basically, that's a big weight, right? It'd be better if you died than to stumble a fellow Christian into sin. So that's why God hates those things. You know, that is why he doesn't like it, because he's very protective of us. He's very protective of his children. And that's a serious matter. It's a very serious matter because, you know, he wants the best for his kids. You know, these are serious matters, and Paul is trying to protect the Galatians, like a good father would. In Galatians chapter 5, verse 13.
For you, brethren, have been called to liberty. Only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another.
Now, I know it sounds weird, because Paul just got from a very dark place, right? Now he's talking about love. You know, again, know that Paul looks at those Galatians as a father did. So there is love, you know. Like a father's love to his kids in danger, that's the love. Because if he just didn't do anything, where would be the love for the Galatians? You know, so there is love in his actions. You know, but the love, he's talking about walking in love, you know, and being concerned for everybody. Yeah, I'm sure Paul, you know, he said, I could wish that for the Judaizers, you know, means he's right there where he could wish that. And if they kept it up, he wished that. But, you know, I'm sure he still, there's, if they ask for forgiveness, they could be saved. But Paul's walking in love. A love like Jesus, you know, and why, how he could walk in love is because Jesus gave him, gave us his spirit to live inside of us. That's how we walk in love. In Galatians 5, verse 14, so love. Love fulfills the law. If we think about that for a second, if we love, we don't want to hurt somebody else, right? So if we don't want to hurt somebody else, we're not really breaking the law, because that's what the law is about protecting others, right? So if we go through that, you know, love does fulfill the law, because you wouldn't be, you won't kill anybody, right? You won't murder somebody, or you won't, you know, take from them if you love them. Now, as far as the law of the land, if we're walking in love, you know, we'll want to do the right thing, right? We want to do the right thing. Now, there is an obvious order. You know, we always follow God first. And then if the law of man goes along with God's law, then yeah, we'll follow it because we want to do the right thing. Remember that it's a want, not that I have to do the right thing in order to be saved. Because nobody's perfect. Now, and some of you could say that, and it's like, it's not a cut down, right? And we need to get to that place where we're not so proudful. It's like, oh man, they're telling me I'm a screw up. And we're not, and the Bible's not saying that. It's just saying that nobody's perfect and everybody needs Jesus. And that's everyone needs the grace of God. You know, it doesn't matter from a big time preacher what preaches to thousands of people to me. You know, it doesn't matter. We both need Jesus and we're both not perfect. There's times we're both don't screw up. In Matthew 22, 37 through 40.
Oh, sorry. I forgot to hit click.
Oh.
Jesus said to him, "You shall love the Lord with the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. The second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself.
Right. So again, you know, this is Jesus answering the Sadducees and the Pharisees saying, oh, well, let's try to trip him up. Let's see which commandment he says is the greatest. And he says that to love God and love your neighbor, right? So love is a very powerful word. It's a very powerful word. When it's misused or abused, it can be dangerous. But if God led, It could build up. It can encourage. It could provide, and it could protect. In Galatians chapter 5, verse 15.
But if you bite and devour one another, beware lest you be consumed by one another.
You know, hate, lust, envy, and selfishness. You know, those are things what don't build up, they destroy and tear apart. If we live by those emotions, if that's what guides our decisions, you know, we could look forward to a life of destruction and despair. You know, there's nothing, you know, they won't do anything for us. You know, it's just an emotion we have, a mere emotion, and it's not good for us. We need to be able to get past that. In Galatians chapter 5, verse 16 through 18.
I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the thing. If you are led by the Spirit, you are not.
So we're no longer under the law. And that's a... Everybody, that's a saying that's been around for a long time. We're no longer under the law. We're under grace, right? We're no longer under an external law. You know, one what was printed in stone, one what that is rigid, one that's heavy and has little grace. You know, if we believe in Jesus, he's given us a spirit, and that spirit lives within us. It's an internal and eternal law that God has put on us. You know, he put on us to guide us, to lead us. And this was always the end plan. You know, God had always, it wasn't ever that the Mosaic law was, oh no, I wanted to keep that. No, God always had this as the end plan. Roughly 600 years before Jesus, God predicted this in Jeremiah. In Jeremiah 31 through 34.
That's four slides.
Four slides.
They shall be my people. No more shall every man teach his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for they shall know me. From the least of them to the greatest of them, says the Lord, for I will forgive them their iniquity and their sin I will remember no more.
So he talks about two covenants, right? So at this point, you know, it's just the one covenant. And the old covenant would be the law. You know, the Mosaic law. And he talks about that God will write the law on our hearts. He will put it inside of us. The Holy Spirit dwells where?
Huh?
In us, right? And it's our relationship with Jesus. You know, in the Old Covenant, only the prophets and the priests could actually talk to God. You know, you had to go to them in order to hear what God told them. So, you know, and we don't really get that because, you know, it says, no more shall every man teach his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for they all shall know me. It says, from the least to the greatest. Right? Because he's talking about, we have that opportunity just to go to the Lord. You know, back in the day, they didn't have that opportunity. But because of Jesus, we have that opportunity just to go straight to the Lord. You know, everyone has that choice to have that close relationship with God. Anyone can go, it says, from the least to the greatest. You know, walking in the Spirit, trying not to let our, we're trying to not let our flesh get in the way. You know, listening to Jesus, talking with him, and letting him help us make our decisions. That is how we should walk. You know, we've been talking about all through Galatians, it's like, oh, well, it's not about the law, we're under grace. But we're talking about that we should be walking with Jesus and letting him guide us, but it's not about the law. It's not about that strict burden that was put on them and that they had to do this, or if they fail, they're just done. They can't make it. In Isaiah 58:11,
the Lord will guide you continually and satisfy your soul in drought and strengthen your bones. You shall be like a watered garden and like a spring of water. Those waters do not fail.
So, I mean, it's that comforting, know that God will always be there. He'll always strengthen us. If we're thirsty, he'll give us water, right? You know, he'll always be there. And he wants that relationship with you. You know, he lived for that relationship. He's always there, willing to talk to you. He's always there, willing to help you. And it, how close you get, how close that relationship is up to us. Can we close in prayer?